Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We come to this fifth Sunday of Lent. And I don't know about you, but I'm a little tired now. The Lenten struggle can often start out strong with great gusto. And then about the cross, maybe a little oomph is added. But it's about the fifth week where we really understand why lentils are named lentils. And this is exactly, I think, the church's wisdom puts before us the life of Mary of Egypt. A perfect icon of incredibly deep and radical repentance. For her life started out not in the desert, not pursuing God, but in the streets of Alexandria, pursuing everything else but God. Mary led a life, as she tells Zosimus, of complete lack of restraint, that she insatiably gave herself over to sensuality. And this started from a young age. And as we hear from her life, and if you've never read her life, you can go over to Google, you can put Mary of Egypt, or Life of Mary of Egypt, press enter, and the glory of Google, one of the glories of Google, there's many other things that are not glories of Google, will show you and present to you the life of Mary of Egypt. And if you've never read it, as we just read it this past Thursday here at St. Anne's, I highly encourage that you read it this week in preparation for Holy Week. Mary gives herself over to the most debased, debauched possible life. We know from her confession to Zosimus that she was completely given over to the sin of fornication. That lust absolutely and completely ruled her. This made her go about, and you can tell as reading the beginning of the life of her story, as she tells it to Zosimus, who has the complete opposite kind of life. From his childhood, he's been raised in a monastery. And he meets Mary, who lived not in a monastery. It is Mary whom God puts before Zosimus to learn repentance. It is Mary who confesses that she had insatiable desire, an irrepressible passion for lying in filth. This was life to me. Every kind of abuse of nature I regarded as life. That is how I lived, she tells us. What happens to Mary as she wanders about, because this is what happens when we are ruled by our passions, is that our life becomes completely wed to them, and we can see nothing else because that seems like what life is. It's exactly what this kind of life that she hunted, she uses this word, for opportunities to fulfill her lust. This is what got herself on a boat with a bunch of pilgrims to Jerusalem. Unbeknownst to her, she was just following her lusts. And she ends up in Jerusalem for the Feast of the Cross. And she continues in this complete life of complete disregard of God, giving herself over to every possible desire, again, hunting for opportunities. And then we find as she continues to follow the crowds, because she does not seem to have any kind of rationality of her own, she's just kind of driven like the wind, that she's going to go see what everyone's in Jerusalem to see. the cross set up in the church. And so she goes to the church. There she wants to behold the spectacle of the cross. Why does she want to do this? She doesn't tell us. She's just kind of there like the rest of her life. She's just kind of driven by the wind, driven by her lusts. But she finds that she cannot enter into the church. At the very threshold, God stops her. At first she thinks, this is just because there's a crowd and I am up against all of these big guys and it's just me as a little girl, woman, you know, I can't get in. So let me try again. So this time she talks about her elbows getting involved, right? She's going to get into the church. Again, she cannot get into the church. Everyone else, she says, can enter into the church. She cannot. She tells us she tries 3-4 times violently to try to get into the church, and every time she cannot enter. It's like God is trying to say something to her. She tells Zosimus, it is only then, after all of those attempts to enter into the church, with great difficulty, it began to dawn on me. It's as if a life and a light she had never known, suddenly she began to actually see. I began to understand the reason why I was prevented from being admitted to seeing the life-giving cross. The word of salvation gently touched the eyes of my heart and revealed to me that it was my unclean life which barred the entrance to me. What a beautiful thing to say. The word of salvation gently touched the eyes of my heart. And it is with this touch she begins to weep and lament and to sigh from the depths of her heart. I am sure this is a weeping that she had never encountered, as if it welled up from within her uncontrollably, because the light had dawned in her heart, because she was actually able to see herself, but more importantly, she was able to see herself because she saw herself through the eyes of God. So God has rebuffed her. He has stopped her. He has given her a gentle touch besides stopping. Does she despair? Does she think, I cannot possibly enter now. I'm such a sinner. There is no hope for me. This can be a natural response. It just seems like, what am I doing? I can't enter into this church. I see the salvation. I see what God has revealed to me. And here I am lying outside of the church. Can you also imagine this too? I don't know about you, in my mind's eye, when I picture this, this is all just her by herself. This is not Mary by herself. This is Mary right outside the door of the church as the pilgrims are going in and out, and she is just sitting there, bawling her eyes out. She looks up from her weeping, and what does she behold? But an icon of the Mother of God. And she tells us that she locks her eyes upon the Mother of God. And she says, O Lady, Mother of God, who gave birth to the flesh, in the flesh, to God the Word, I know, oh how well I know, that it is no honor or praise to thee when one so impure and depraved as I look up to thy icon, O ever virgin, who didst keep thy body and thy soul in purity. Rightly do I inspire hatred and disgust before thy virginal purity. But I have heard that God, who is born of thee, became man on purpose to call sinners to repentance. Then help me, for I have no other help. Order the entrance of the church to be opened to me. Allow me to see the venerable tree on which he who was born of thee suffered in the flesh, and on which he shed his holy blood for the redemption of sinners and for me, unworthy as I am. Be my faithful witness before thy Son that I will never again defile my body by the impurity of fornication. But as soon as I have seen the tree of the cross, I will renounce the world and its temptations and will go wherever you will lead me. The harlot before the virgin. The one without hope, the one who has been barred, the one whom God has begun to open up the light, goes and implores and asks the Mother of God for help. Because she knows that God is the lover of us all and calls us to repentance. And in this struggle, Mary realizes that she is not alone, but that she needs Mary, that she needs her intercessions. And I love that she asks of her to order that church door open. You hear the sentence before where she says, like, I am filth, I'm disgusting, there's nothing here. But then she has the audacity, she has that hope that she can ask the Mother of God, order that door open for me. Allow me to see the cross upon which Christ died. And then I will flee from the world, renounce the world, and then wherever you lead me, I will go. She tells Zosimus of this prayer, and then, as if, she says, acquiring some hope in firm faith and feeling some confidence in the mercy of the Mother of God, she left that place where she had been praying, and she was able to enter into the church. We are not alone in our struggles. Whatever we feel, whatever the shame or the alienation or the lack or the inability to actually change anything in our life, we have the example of Mary begging the Mother of God to intercede for her. For we are not saved alone. It is not just you and an angry God. That is not the picture of the church. It is you and a God who has done everything that he possibly can to save you. And he doesn't just do it on his own, which he has accomplished salvation for us, but he encourages and has all of the friends of God intercede for us, especially his mother. This is the basic and utter truth that no matter how far we have fallen, no matter how distant that we feel, that when we turn in repentance to God, we can enter, as Mary says, without difficulty and find ourselves in the holy place. We can gaze upon the life-giving cross. We can see, as she saw, the mysteries of God and how the Lord accepts repentance. As there, we can throw ourselves on the ground like Mary and kiss the earth from where our Lord shed his own blood for us. When Mary returns from out of the church, she goes and kneels before the Mother of God, and she again prays to her, O loving Lady, thou hast shown me thy great love for all men. Glory to God who receives the repentance of sinners through thee. What more can I recall or say, I who am so sinful. It is time for me, O Lady, to fulfill my vow according to my witness. Now lead me by thy hand along the path of repentance. We must, when we awaken, not calm our conscience down or assuage ourselves or distract ourselves, but we must act in repentance, crying out for help. We must enter into the church and glory in the cross of our Lord. We must ask for that help to maintain the path of repentance. And there is not anyone better fit to guide us and help us intercede for us than the Mother of God. This particular icon of the Mother of God, Pantanasa, is Queen of Heaven. And this was an icon that I did not seek out, but that was offered to St. Anne's that has come amongst us in this past week, right in time for the Mother of God's intercessions with Mary, the example of Mary, and also for our unction service that we have this Wednesday evening. This icon is known as a copy of an icon from the monastery of Batupedi in Manathos that is known for healing those who are suffering from cancer and other ailments. There's copies throughout the world, and now we have our own copy. Again, not by my will, but by her will, she came to us. And so let us find through her intercessions the path of repentance. Let us imitate Mary. Let us, as we can, embrace her and her intercessions. Because we ourselves stand at the threshold of Holy Week, where we journey with Mary to the cross. And we'll find ourselves in short time standing by the cross with Mary, lamenting and pouring out our hearts as our God suffers and dies for us. Join the Mother of God as we begin the journey this week, asking for her intercessions, for her healing. She will strengthen you. She will guide you. She will intercede for you, because she is the Mother of our Lord, and she is also your mother. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.